Today is Tuesday, February 26th, 2013. Over the weekend, we celebrated our 8th year anniversary by staying in the city and enjoying time without having to go to wineries or anything like that. We had some wonderful meals. My partner made his famous lasagna, and that was so delicious. He also, on Saturday night, he made risotto, nice plain risotto, not mushroom or onion and all that. He just made plain risotto, and it was, again, so delicious. We kind of just had a very relaxing weekend because it was raining all day Saturday, so we just did a couple things and hung out and watched TV and just had a relaxing day. And then on Sunday, what we like to do is every year we like to try to go to museums on our anniversary because that's where what we did for our first date. We went to museums in D.C. So I did a little research and there were a couple exhibitions that I wanted to see. So we got on the metro and headed on down to the Smithsonian, the mall, to see a couple exhibitions. The first one was at the National Gallery of Art, the West Building, and the exhibition was called Faking It, Manipulated Photography Before Photoshop. And it was a whole bunch of photographs between, I think it was like 1840 through 1980, showing how different photographs were manipulated like manually, not with a computer. And all the exhibits showed all kinds of pictures from pop art to politics to scenes and stuff. It was really quite interesting to see. One particular set of photographs that I thought was interesting was they showed, I believe it was Joseph Stalin, with like four different people in the first picture. And then as the people fell out of politics, I guess, or he didn't like them any longer, he had them removed from the pictures, and they showed a series of four pictures. And in the first picture, there was Stalin with four people. Then the next picture, it was Stalin with three people, and then all the way down to Stalin with one person. And I thought that was interesting how they would remove the people that he no longer liked or trusted, or you know, whatever, for whatever reason. And the little card described how they would do it. They would use paint and different techniques with the negative to take the people out. So I thought that was really interesting. There were some cool celebrity pictures that you could tell were manipulated. Like there was this one of Elvis. Well, they showed two pictures, one of Elvis with a full head of hair and then one of Elvis with a crop, what do we call it, a flat top for when he was going into the military. And they showed that the picture was actually doctored. They didn't actually take a picture of him after he got his hair shaved off. I mean, there were other photographs, you know, going around that with him, the real photographs of him with his hair cut off. But this one that they showed, it was all done, I guess it was through painting and stuff. Anyway, the whole exhibit was very cool. If you happen to be in the D.C. area, it runs, started on February 17th and runs through May 5th at the National Gallery of Art West Building. So that was really good. And then we decided to head over to the Hirshhorn Museum, because there was another interesting exhibition that was actually the last day of this exhibition. I'm going to get it wrong. Anyway, it was the Ai Weiwei modern art exhibit at the Hirshhorn Museum. And I don't know if you're familiar with Ai Weiwei, but he's been an artist for years. He spent a decade in the United States doing art, and then returned to China, I believe, in 1993, and then has gotten in trouble with the Chinese government for the way he talks about different things. One thing is he helped design the Olympic Stadium, and I'm trying to read this thing here that talks a little bit about him. The biggest impact on him was the 2008 earthquake in Sichuan, I guess it was. How do you say that? Sichuan? Yeah. Anyway, he had certain, Sichuan, I think that's how you say it. He was, detained by the, Chinese government because he published 5,000 names of the people who were killed in the earthquake. And you know how secretive the Chinese government is. They don't want people to find out too much about what's going on in the government or through tragedies like that, because he was trying to point out that the schools, most of the schools that were destroyed in the earthquake, were of substandard building materials and quality and so forth. So he was trying to point that out, and he got arrested by the Chinese government, and it was in prison for 81 days. And some of his of these installations that he had at the Hirshhorn Museum showed things specifically like that. For example, he had this big circle full of these little plastic crabs, and I think it was about 5,000 of these little plastic crabs in a circle, and that was I believe they were supposed to represent the 5,000 children that were killed in the earthquake. And then he had this really, really interesting installation of rebar, the building material, the steel rebar that they use in buildings to, you know, make the concrete stronger. Anyway, it was this big, long display of rebar stacked up at different levels and with a kind of like a middle area that looked like a fault line for an earthquake. And each one of the pieces of rebar was taken from the damage from the earthquake, and that was all. They were all hammered out straight, and actually the installation is called Straight. And it ended up being 38 tons of this rebar that's all, you know, laid out and stacked up, and it looks kind of cool. And I took a picture of it, and I will be putting a picture on the website, as well as a couple other pictures of things we saw there. He had this other installation. I call it installation because I think that's what they call the artwork when it's, you know, where you have to put it in place. Anyway, the one that I thought was interesting was, and I think this is another one that he gets in trouble for, is he hand painted these vases from the Chang Dynasty, I think it is. I'm not sure what it is, but they're like these vases that were like 3,000 to 5,000 years old, and he totally, well, I say ruined them by painting them these bright colors. And I have a picture of that as well that I will put on the website underneath this podcast. I thought that was interesting too, but I'm not really sure what it was supposed to represent, unless it was just his way to destroy parts of the China, I guess, you know, of Chinese culture, because he's upset with, you know, all these different things with the earthquake and politics and stuff like that. I think this exhibition was the one that made me think more about why he created these things and, you know, the reasons behind each piece. And I was doing some research, and I found this little piece of audio from NPR that had it didn't have a discussion with him, but it was like the NPR talking about this one installation of the rebar thing. And I'm going to play it here in just a minute or two. But you can get a better idea of what they're talking about. It's about 8 minutes long, so I'm going to tack it on at the end of the podcast in case you don't really care to listen to it. But anyway, so that was our Sunday, and I thought it was a great time. We had a fun time going to the museums and seeing these different shows and stuff. It was really cool, and I always look forward to that. And the thing is, we should do more of that. We live in Washington, D.C., where all these museums and stuff are, and there's all these different exhibitions coming and going in D.C., so we should definitely do more of it. But it's like there's no time. So we definitely dedicated this weekend to doing just that, and we did. So that's about it. I'm trying to think what else is going on. Oh, the Oscars on Sunday, I only guessed 9 out of the 24 winners. I thought it was really cool that Daniel Day-Lewis made Oscar history by winning the third of his Oscars, and all three of them were for Best Actor Oscars. So he's now the only man who has three Best Actor Oscars, forever, for the 85-year history of it. And I thought it was really cool that Michelle Obama was the one who announced the Best Picture. I thought it was cool. What else is going on? Not a whole lot. I'm just absolutely swamped at work and run down and tired and just overwhelmed, as usual. And Let's see, anything else? No, nothing else going on. Just had a wonderful weekend celebrating our 8th anniversary, and I really look forward to many, many more years. So I think that's all for now. Stay tuned after the little bit of music there, the little short ending music, to listen to the NPR discussion about Ai Weiwei's sculpture installation at the Hirshhorn Museum. So that's all for today. Until next time, bye.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Alyssa Block. Today, considering an artist and activist whose work asks these questions. How do we honor the dead? How do we commit them to memory?
Wang Xiaoqing.
And how do we come to terms with the way they died?
Liu Shuqiu.
Zhang Min.
We're listening to the names of children from Sichuan, China. They were among the tens of thousands of people killed in the massive earthquake there in 2008.
Li Dongmei,
Yao Hongyu,
Han Ye.
This is a sound installation created by the Chinese dissident artist Ai Weiwei. He ran afoul of Chinese authorities by having citizen investigators collect the names of more than 5,000 children who were killed when their schools collapsed in the earthquake, victims of shoddy construction. When Ai Weiwei published those names on his popular blog, government censors shut it down. A few months later, he was beaten by police and had to have emergency brain surgery. Ai Weiwei also asked his Twitter followers to record the names of the dead students and email them to him. The compiled recording goes on for 3 hours, 41 minutes.
Jiang Qing.
Ren Junyang.
This sound installation is now part of an exhibition of Ai Weiwei's work at the Hirshhorn Museum here in Washington, D.C. One of those names, number 2,241 on Ai Weiwei's list, belongs to Liu Qiang, who was killed when the Juyuan Middle School collapsed. I was at that ruined school in Sichuan the night of the earthquake as small, limp bodies were carried out of the wreckage. And I met Liu Qiang's grieving family at their home a few days after. His ashes had been placed on a makeshift altar in a small box, wrapped in a white silk scarf.
This woman has just handed me a picture of a young boy who was killed in this middle school. His name is Liu Qiang. This is the stepmother right here. And she's picking up his school ID. It's beautiful. He's wearing a white dress shirt.
Liao Huan.
Li Jiamen.
I went to the Ai Weiwei show to see how he has turned that earthquake and these thousands of deaths into art. In particular, I wanted to see a massive floor piece titled simply Straight. It's 20 feet wide and 58 feet long. I watched museum visitors crouch down and get close to see how it's put together. What does it look like? How would you describe it to somebody who hasn't seen it?
It's rods of rebar laying out in a kind of a wave-like form.
It's like a giant array of rusted rebar, steel rebar poles.
38 tons in this kind of undulating shape.
It's not tall, it's close to the floor, but it has a rolling effect.
If you looked at it from the side, it would look like maybe a Richter scale graph of an earthquake.
It looks like a fault, an earthquake fault. That's what it reminds me of. And just how like it shifted.
It's a beautiful piece. And it's also that sense of helplessness, because here you have all this material. And what did it do? It caused no protection for anybody. I mean, it's frightening when you look at it that way.
In a video with the show, Ai Weiwei explains how he made the piece. After the earthquake, he went to Sichuan and bought tons of the mangled rebar that I saw everywhere in the earthquake debris, the useless bones of all those schools that collapsed. His workers pounded the twisted rebar straight, piece by piece. They kept on hammering, even when he was detained for nearly 3 months by Chinese authorities. When he was released, Ai Weiwei mapped the rusted rods into stacks of varying heights, from a few inches to a foot or so off the floor. It forms a 38-ton carpet of steel
that waves across the floor with multiple layers of rebar, almost as if it's an earthquake, as if the quake is waving through the gallery floors.
That's the show's curator, Carrie Brower.
And we actually had to do a lot of engineering on this piece because the actual weight is considerable. And the floors will only hold so much weight, so we had to have engineers involved to see how high we could get with the stacked rebar.
And running down the middle is where these two halves of the piece collide.
Yes.
It looks very much like a fault line, doesn't
it? Very much like a fault line, like a fissure.
It is quite striking, having seen what happened to those buildings in Sichuan, having seen the schools that were destroyed and the rebar that was just twisted.
Yes, you were there. You saw it.
And to see it now laid out like this, it really does, it takes your breath away.
It's a very compelling piece. And he has a quote we put up on the wall right over here. He says, "The tragic reality of today is reflected in the true plight of our spiritual existence. We are spineless and cannot stand straight."
What does that say to you, that quote from Ai Weiwei?
It says to me that people are not standing up to corruption. They're not standing up for human rights, that our politicians don't always do the right thing. We have to stop being so spineless, and we have to get a real spine. We have to stand straight against corruption. That's what this piece is ultimately about.
Carrie Brower of the Hirshhorn Museum. He's curator of the exhibition of Ai Weiwei's work titled According to What? After the show closes here in Washington next month, it'll travel to Indianapolis, Toronto, Miami, and Brooklyn. Chinese authorities have seized Ai Weiwei's passport, so he can't travel with the show. Just before I left the Hirshhorn, I was reminded of something Ai Weiwei has said, that his art flows from his search for the value of life and individual rights. I noticed a young woman, her head cocked to the side, looking intently at the thousands of steel rods that make up the straight installation.
Just noticing each bar, because they're all like different shades and tints of brown, but they're none of them look alike. It reminds me of like individuals, because usually when something happens in mass, people tend to just group it together and forget about it. But the artist doesn't want you to forget what happens. It's a piece that you can let it simmer and think about it and come back and look at it a couple times. Definitely.
That's Hirshhorn Museum visitor Rashida Connolly. She's getting her MFA from Howard University. Earlier, we heard from visitors Jacqueline Boss, Tom and Karen Carter, Marion Holtz, An Nguyen, and Helen Dickerson. And at our website, you can watch Ai Weiwei's film that I mentioned earlier about the ruined schools and how he turned that wreckage into art. That's at npr.org. Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.